It's time for scripture. We're going to be reading. You can follow along in the Pew Bible if you like. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. It's found on page 1875 of your Pew Bibles. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens in a strange and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
I think we all remember Abraham's road trip. He was the first spiritual sojourner of our tradition. I remember road trips when I was when we had a young family. We always began with a little prayer. It wasn't the Janis Joplin prayer that maybe we remember. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? It was more like, oh Lord, just get us to where we're going, and let's hope that it's, please watch over our carburetor, because I'm not sure it's going to make it. Because back then in our 20s, I don't know about you, but things were a little crazy. One year, we had our second child, so we had two little kids under the age of two, and my wife had just quit her job to go back to school, so we were just full of money, and we bought a house that we couldn't afford, because you know everybody buys a house you can't afford when you're in your 20s, and we really weren't sure where we would end up. I certainly didn't think that I would be a pastor way down the road, but we couldn't afford much, so we would pack up the kids in our yellow VW bus and head on down Highway 5, just blistering the way down like 50 miles an hour, because that's really all it would go. And we did it by faith. And it's not the kind of faith that we read about here, but it was the faith that we knew that we were hoping to get down to my mom's house so we could have a vacation, because that's about all we had there at that time. But it was a really warm time, as we talked about it last weekend when my kids got together with the grandkids, and we talked about those kinds of vacations, that just piling in the VW bus and just heading on down Highway 5 to my mom's house. And they remember that, those crazy times. Well, Christianity was born on the road. Our deep spiritual roots were laid down on the dusty roads encircling the Sea of Galilee and down the Jordan Valley and back up through Samaria and back down into Jerusalem. All through Judea and Galilee, Jesus walked and taught and healed and preached, and hundreds of his disciples walked those roads with him. And Paul, too, he wouldn't sit still. First we hear of him, he's on a road to Damascus. And it says, breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, planning on killing us off, killing off as many Christians as he can get his hands on. On the way up to Damascus, he's struck down, and we know the rest. He's literally, don't you hate that word, literally? Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I literally died when she did this, and there they are talking to you, you know? But with Paul, he literally changed his life right there. And he was baptized and he preached. But very soon, he was back on the road again. And his life was a long spiritual journey on the road, taking this new religion through the Mid East to Greece and beyond Turkey and into Rome. And Peter, too, he journeyed far and wide. He left his home by the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what this guy that shows up. He's got sandals and a robe, and he just says, follow me. And Peter just goes. He wasn't sure where he was going, but he had faith in this man he was following. And so Peter followed Jesus all through his ministry. And then after the resurrection, Peter went on the road again. He visited Samaria and Caesarea. He visited Antioch and on to Corinth. And others like Barnabas and Mark and Silas, they traveled around carrying the word of the gospel to people who were foreign to them. But our spirit, as Marilyn mentioned, our spiritual migration goes way, way back before Jesus. It goes back to Abraham. This passage in Hebrews reminds us that Abraham was that first spiritual sojourner in our tradition. And as we read it, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. That's pretty frightening. But Abraham and Isaac and Sarah got up, took their families, and they went. They trusted in God, and they went. And they carried with them practically nothing but a vision of hope and a faith in God. Because God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and all the people of the world and the earth will be blessed through you. That's a powerful calling. But it's also scary to go on that journey. But there in the promised land, as we hear in Hebrews again, Abraham was a stranger in a foreign land, led there by God with a promise, but still he was a stranger in a foreign land. As the passage said, by faith he made his home in a promised land, but he was still a stranger there. Later on, we read that Moses, too, was a foreigner in a foreign land. And he led the Israelites out of Egypt. He spent 40 years traveling a great desert to the banks of the Jordan River. Very long sojourn. But God won't let us forget that. Because God warned us, do not mistreat or oppress foreigners. For you were a foreigner in Egypt. God wants us to remember that. Those of us here today are no strangers to this history of migration. On one side, my family, they were, for generations, they were gardeners in a royal castle in Scotland. It may sound like it's really, you know, glamorous, but, you know, they had hoes and they were just gardeners. But my great-grandparents, they picked up their kids and they went west, and they went to Glasgow, and then they went to Liverpool, and then they went across the ocean. They landed in the steel town of Canton, Ohio, because they were looking for a new opportunity, and they had heard a promise that there were jobs and there was a new opportunity in America, and they went. And they trusted in the faith of they had a faith in the unknown. On the other side of my family, well, I'll maybe I shouldn't say it, but they were Baptists. But they were Baptists in a time in England in the 17th century when you were jailed or you flogged or you were beaten. And so they gathered up their eight children, and they didn't have a VW bus. They climbed onto a big ship, and they went to America. They went to the Massachusetts Bay Colony because they had heard that that was the new promised land, that they would be safe, that they would have the opportunity to start a new life. And from there, over the generations, they moved west through Pennsylvania, and they landed in the steel town of Canton, Ohio. My wife's grandmother, her family also came from England, landed in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, where, incidentally, they met my family, but we didn't intermarry back then, so we're all right. But they did happen to meet at that time. There's a church log that they went to church together. But they also moved. They moved to Kentucky and then into Ohio and into Indiana. But my wife's grandmother, she talked to her pastor, and her pastor said, there's a new land opening up in the West. So she got on this train in the years before World War I by herself and traveled to the far reaches of northeastern Montana, where she homesteaded this blustery piece of land where there's like two trees and four people. I mean, that's a city boy looking at this, but and then she fell in love with the homesteader in the next homestead, and that together they farmed that land for 40 years. But she went there because she had faith in the unknown. And together they made that piece of dirt work. And they made the journey every single Sunday, 30 miles to church to give thanks to God. When I was a kid, I grew up in Los Angeles, and the teachers would say, who of you were born in California? And there'd be like one or two kids that would raise their hands. And I wasn't one of them, but my wife was. But most of those, just like me, most of those kids, they traveled west with their parents who sought a promised land. They came west for new opportunities and to raise their kids in a safe new land. Earlier this year, when I would go visit people, one of the things I would ask, just to kind of get to know who you were, I'd say, well, where are you from? Where were you born? And then that would lead into your stories about your own migration. You came from Scotland or Chicago or Alabama to California. There's a contingent here from Nebraska. I don't see a couple of you, but there are some Nebraska people here, right? Right? Maybe they're not here. I don't know. Maybe they went back. I don't think so. But anyway, but you folks, your family left one place and moved to a place where you saw new opportunities and a new life. And you did so by faith in the unknown. I read a story recently about a woman in Nebraska, in fact. She put herself and her two kids on a bus in Nebraska for Los Angeles. And she had no job in Nebraska, no house in Nebraska, and she was going to a place in Los Angeles. She had no job and no house. But she felt that winter in Los Angeles was a better place to raise her kids than winter in Nebraska. And it makes sense. But she went on faith. It was a spiritual journey for her. Now others are making a long trek from the land of their birth, mothers and fathers carrying kids and grandparents guiding their grandchildren across a great desert, from the land of their birth to what they're hoping is a land of safety and a land of hope and promise. Clearly, in this migration, there are drug dealers and criminals, but most of them are families, children, grandparents, mothers and fathers that are escaping violence and poverty in their homeland, and they're going to a promised land. And they have no promise of a welcome where they're going. They have deep Catholic roots, deep spiritual roots that holds them close in their journey. And many of them call on Saint Toribio, who is a martyred Mexican priest. He's the patron saint of migrants. And they call on Saint Toribio to guide them, to give them spiritual sustenance in their journey. And their journey, like so many in our tradition, is a spiritual journey. They too have faith in the unknown. Christianity indeed was born on the road, and it continues to grow on the road. And yet I wonder, listening to television, which I shouldn't do, but I do, I watch television too much, I wonder if we've forgotten that we are sons and daughters of immigrants. In the air today, there's just so much hate and violence that we hear that these immigrants are different from us. They're different from our ancestors. And they're demonized and they're attacked. And even some of the people that are here that look like them are demonized and attacked. But we've been through waves like this. In the 1880s, there was fear and hatred and violence against immigrants that came from England and Scotland and Ireland. And we flourished with that wave of people. And again, in the 20s was a very violent time because people were afraid of the immigration from Southern Europe, Italy, and places like that. And yet, people that came at that time helped make us who we are. But this isn't a political sermon. I'm not going down the rabbit hole of immigration policy, and I don't have any answers on that. But this is a time of remembrance and a time of bringing the past into the present. I'm calling on all of us, me too, to bring the memory of Abraham, who was a stranger in a foreign land, bring the memory of God's admonition to Moses not to mistreat and oppress the foreigner, and to remember that our faith was born on the road to Bethlehem, and on the road that faithful day into Jerusalem. Our deep spiritual roots were built and made on the road in the Middle East and throughout the world as people carried the good news of the gospel. I'm hoping that we too can remember that we are all sons and daughters of immigrants. Amen.